Hello, everyone, and welcome back to a new podcast. I am your host, Marcos. One of my co-hosts, as always, Justin.
Hello, everybody. Well, today we had our first guest for you guys. That was a lot of fun, wasn't it?
Oh, it was extremely fun. It was always a thrill having Jason on. You know, we always have the best conversations with him, and it's awesome because he's always enlightening us. You know, he always comes with good stuff.
And I just love the conversation we've gotten with him today. He's a father of two, as you guys will learn in the episode. He runs a social media page called Sleepers All Day, mostly basketball, but some pop culture is in there as well. It's a great page. You guys should follow Sleepers All Day on Instagram. 72,000 followers. Yeah, our conversation today was great. We talked about basketball. We talked about inner child healing. We talked about his family. Just a lot of insight of life from Jason. A lot of Korean heritage as well, because Jason is of Korean heritage. And we just got into a lot of stuff. It was a lot of fun. I think you guys should enjoy it. I hope you guys enjoy it. But if you don't enjoy it, it's okay. Just fake like you enjoy it. You know, me and Marcos had a great time talking to Jason. We love him. And
we'll see you in the episode.
Yeah, we'll see you in the episode. Enjoy Jason Kim.
Welcome to the new podcast.
So cold. How we can't do cold over here in LA? 69.
This is way too cold. I think what is outside, like 60?
Yeah, at least. Has to be 60.
It was at least like 49 when I left this morning. I was like, it is way too cold, dude. It is way too cold. But Jason, so you're Korean heritage, right?
Korean-born American. So
Korean-born. Nice. How? Where's your parents from?
South Korea.
South Korea. Yeah. Okay. When did they come over here?
I actually don't know. I was born, you know, they're immigrants. They don't speak a lot of English still to this day. So it's cool for me to help them adapt to the American culture. You're Filipino. I'm sure your parents, same thing. I don't know if they're born here or not, but kind of help them out. You know, that's what we're here for. So
So how was it like growing up in a Korean household in America?
Shoes off. Shoes off the house. All Asian food. You know, we don't eat a lot of burgers. We never barbecued. You know, rice kind of every meal. Got to be respectful. It's completely different. And I feel like you need to enter an Asian household to see the big differences.
Right. The culture is completely... I feel like you can relate too, right?
As coming
from an immigrant family. Did you bring like lunch, like kimchi to school and all that stuff?
So, you know, being Asian, like you would get bullied for that. You bring something like kimchi and it just stinks up everything. And sometimes it's like you're so embarrassed to eat it because it smells. And there's times I remember like I would throw that shit away and not eat it. So
damn, just to save the embarrassment?
Exactly. Because like everyone will look at you.
That's true.
Just smells.
Yeah, you can't trade lunches. Like, hey, you want to trade the Oreos for my kimchi real quick? You know, you can't do that.
And it's not like a basic sandwich either. Like, it's a foreign type of food that no one's seen.
Right. But what's funny though, like kimchi is actually like really healthy for you, isn't it?
Yeah. It's fermented. Yeah. These probiotics.
Yeah.
So it's real good for you.
What is it, a vegetable? What vegetable
it's
is
a,
it?
It's cabbage? A fermented Napa cabbage with like spicy seasoning. It's good. Have you ever tried it?
I've you know, when you occasionally go to the Korean bar especially. I had a question about that actually. I don't know if you know. I don't know at all. Is Korean barbecue like traditional Korean food, or is that something like the Westerners?
No, I would say it's pretty traditional. They do have a bunch of it in Korea, but the way we eat it compared to here, I think it's completely different.
Oh, okay.
Out there, they have like little lettuce wraps. You kind of make it into like your little taco, but instead of the tortilla, it's like the lettuce, and then you put the meat, and then you put, you know, some vegetables, you know, maybe some rice, and then you kind of roll it up. I would say that's like the traditional way, but over here, it's just like rice and meat. That's all
you eat. Yeah, that's literally it. Yeah.
So
you can't go wrong though, dude. Oh,
you can't go wrong.
I'll fuck up some gen right now, dude. Yeah. What do you usually go? What's your go-to Korean barbecue spot?
So, like, I mean, I'm not really from LA.
Okay.
I don't really come out to LA.
Where are you from? Let the people
Roland
know.
Roland Heights, 626.
Yeah, there we go. There we go.
Gotta show love to the city, but just kind of anywhere. Like, it's hard to miss on Korean barbecue. I have yet to go to a really bad one.
Yeah.
They're all pretty decent, you know, nowadays. We lose a lot of appreciation for restaurants out in Southern California. We have everything. Mm-hmm. We have American, Korean, Mexican. Like, I'm sure you guys fight, you know, with whoever you go to eat with. Like, where do you want to eat? Where do you want to eat?
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Sometimes it's an argument, but we lose a lot of appreciation for it because we have everything here.
I was just talking to Marcos about this yesterday. If you really want to find real culture in food, you go to the 626.
Yeah.
You know, Alhambra, San Gabriel.
Yeah.
El Monte. Like, these are the cities you want to go to if you want to get as close to the culture as you can. For me as a Filipino, the places that you would go to, West Covina, Eagle Rock, you know, those are like the best Filipino food you could possibly find here in LA. And like, we're spoiled in LA.
Facts, yeah.
I only saw one Chinese food place in a radius of like 25 miles. And everything else is just American diner or some kind of Mexican restaurant type of deal.
Was that Chinese food, like a Panda takeout Chinese
food? No, it was, yeah, it was like general something Chinese food. It's like one of those, like, you know, two meal combo box. And it was like closed half of the time too. I'm like, okay, all right, cool. And there's like no DoorDash, there's no Uber Eats, even though like it's a state in the United States.
Uh-huh.
I'm like, damn, like we're really spoiled in LA. Like we have everything at the snap of a finger.
You don't realize it until you go somewhere else.
Right.
Exactly.
They don't have it. And it's
exactly.
Like, wow.
Dude, trip out on this. You know what place has, and it's in Mexico too. This place has more Chinese food spots per capita than it does taco shops. Is it in fucking, was it Baja Cali? Is that where it's at?
I'm not sure. I can check.
Cause I don't know exactly where it's at, but I think they just migrated down there.
Oh,
they were like kind of shunned down to over there, and they kind of just adjusted, and they made it their own. And there's literally more Chinese food spots than there's taco spots.
Is it like a Chinatown in Mexico?
No, it's like a whole, like Baja. Yeah, it is Baja.
It's Baja, right?
Yeah, and they also have like their own spin on a lot of the dishes. Like if you go, like chow mein is like a street food there, and they serve it like on top of like a tostada and stuff. Like it's really good.
Yeah. Wow. That's definitely one of the spots I want to hit up to.
Yeah. Wow.
When you were born all the way till now?
Yeah, went to school there, played ball in high school, and just kind of stayed with the city.
Mm-hmm.
It's very suburb-like.
Mm-hmm.
Quiet. I wouldn't say quiet, but it's not like a downtown feel.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Me personally, I don't like being around a lot of people. I don't like a lot of commotion. I'm a very low-key person. You know, some people like that, some people don't. Some people like to be in the city.
Right.
Some people like being out. You know, I think for me, I started young as a father, having a family. So I don't know. I like being home with my family, homebody.
How old were you when you first had your child?
I think I found out when I was 20, and then I first had my first kid when I was 21, still very young, didn't know what I was doing with my life. It really changed my life.
Mm-hmm. So when you first found out you were having a child, like what was going through in your mind? Like what was the first thought? What was the plan of action?
I think the summer of 2000, growing up in an Asian household, they're very strict. When I found out at the time, my girlfriend, I consider her my wife now, even though we're not married, but yeah, like I just couldn't keep it a secret because my mind was like, it was going crazy. I didn't know what to do. I was scared. All I was thinking about is how am I going to relay this message to my mom? Because at that time, my mom was like the only person I'd really talked to. If I told my dad, he probably would have gone ape shit. But I mean, eventually I just kind of like, I just told her like, I'm having a baby.
Yeah. What was her reaction?
She broke down, you know, I think like any Asian parent would because... It just wasn't easy for her. And I think for her to relay that message to her family in Korea, knowing that her son is going to have a baby. Mind you this, that my partner, she's not Korean. So it's like a sin times two. So I think for her to accept that, it was real hard. And that's what I was scared of, you know, her reaction.
Damn, at this point, she would have preferred you show up with tattoos, huh?
Tattoos and piercings.
Seriously, bro. Damn.
But it was hard. Like the first month, me and my mom didn't talk. She just kept asking me, like, what are you going to do? What are you going to do? How are you going to figure it out? You know, look what you did. Look what you caused.
Damn.
It put me in a bad place. Here we are, 7-8 years later. Everything's cool.
Right.
You know, everything worked itself out. You know, our relationship is good. She loves the kids.
Right.
So it's in the beginning, it's tough. And I feel like I think we're all old enough now to just tell the truth.
Right.
Be upfront. You know, whatever happens, happens. Because even if my mom took it the wrong way and, you know, even if she didn't talk to me till this day, I think I'd still love her.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there's a lot of people that they lose that relationship with their parents. And, you know, I don't think I ever wanted to get it that way.
Right, right.
So,
yeah, especially like a time like that where everything is, they feel like they probably failed as parents and they were just probably projecting, this was my fault, this is my failure. That's just how they probably felt. Even if my mom stopped talking to me, I know she'll come around. I'm never going to hold that against
her.
You know, because that's just a huge thing to hear. She's just probably ashamed, like, to tell the parents in Korea. You know, that's the same thing in the Philippines. If you have a kid at a young age and you tell everybody in the family, oh yeah, it's before they got married. Oh, it's before he had a career. They're gonna be like, yeah. Oh, ooh. They just look at you in a different way, you know? So like now that you have your family, like how is it raising a child? Like, are you-
It's fun.
Yeah, yeah.
It's cool. Kind of going back to that parenting, like yeah. I, you know, I'm parenting my kids completely different. Like mm-hmm. if they get in trouble, if they do something wrong, like I want to know, like, you know, we make it cool. You know, how can we fix it? How can we get better? It's all the older generation. I don't think they saw that. You make mm-hmm. a mistake, you're done. You know, I'm like, mm-hmm. my kids, you make a mistake. All right, cool. Let's try to rebuild it. Cause my oldest plays sports, being an athlete, right. You know how it is to be an athlete. You want to try to get, better. You want to improve. You know, I think I'm parenting completely different than how my parents were because it's a new world, different world we live in.
Of course, yeah.
And even the Hispanic culture too, they love kids.
Yeah.
And this is like backtracking to what we were saying earlier. Mm-hmm. When my partner's family found out, they were all cool. You know, they're like, yeah, let's more babies.
I was trying to relate to you with the traditional like
yeah.
your parents getting mad, dude, but dude, my family, I have a couple cousins that are younger than me. I have two kids already.
Yeah.
Literally.
And they're probably happy.
Dude, yeah, the parents are all for it.
They love it. You know, they want more grandchildren. And it's yeah. like, it's completely different cultures.
Right. I love what you said about you want to know if your kid makes a mistake. If I have a kid, like I am nowhere near ready to be a kid, I think. But who's ever ready? That's what they say.
You're
you know?
Never ready. Right. No matter how ready you are, yeah. you're never ready.
Who's really ready? That's like every time I talk about that, who's really ready? You know, but like there's one thing that I would want to try to implement with my kid one day in the future is like the transparency, yeah. having that relationship where it's like, you can tell me whatever it is, bad, good, in yeah. between, just let me know. I'm never gonna tell you anything or tell you to do anything that's gonna harm you.
Right.
But you just gotta let me know. Let me help you through this crazy life that we live in, you know?
Yeah.
And at the same time, I don't want to baby them. Like, I want them to make their own mistakes, but just right. let me know. Like, let me try to guide.
Everyone's going to have their way of mm-hmm. doing it. It's just how you do it. How, you know, how is it going to be the most effective way?
Right.
And it's just when you figure it out. There's some parents that don't care. You know, there's some mm-hmm. parents that are going to just let their kids go and, you know, let them do them mm-hmm. and not care. But, you know, me, it's like, it's different.
Mm-hmm. Is it really the best job in the world? Does it feel like that?
Dude, sometimes yes, sometimes no.
Yeah, there's the real like that.
There's times when both my kids are just going crazy, like jumping off the walls, like all their food that we just made, they just threw it on the floor. Oh, or like, you know, they're spilling juice, spilling water, you gotta clean it. You know, one kid's crying over there, one kid's crying over there.
Do you have two boys?
Two boys, yeah. I have a 7-year-old and a 2-year-old.
Are you gonna LeVar ball them?
One more, nah. I don't know. If it happens, it happens.
Right.
But
right.
now, like, I know what I'm, you know, expecting. You know, I think I'm more ready having two kids than no kids.
Right.
Mm. So if it happens, cool. If not, you know, I love my two boys.
From work to social life to family, like, how do you balance it all?
That's yeah. a what good do you question. Do? Yeah. You just do it. You know, you wake up, you take the kids to school, or take the kids, you know, one kid to school,
mm-hmm.
come back, get ready for work. 24/7, you don't stop. You know, I'm on my phone, I'm working, you know, making calls. I think this year, maybe within the last year and a half, I took a big step back to be with the family, to get off the phone. Mm-hmm. And I think that's when I realized, like, you know, I want to invest more time with my kids, with my family, travel. You know, we went on our first vacation a couple years ago. Growing up in the work life, you're so busy in the grind. You're like grind, 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 grind. And then you never get to enjoy. So that was like my mentality. Like, I never wanted to enjoy myself until like I really made it. Mm-hmm. And even to this day, like, I haven't made it. So I'm just wasting all this time.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, fuck that. Like, I'm just going to go enjoy myself. So, you know, I really let go of the grind, grind, grind mentality, slowing it down, you know, taking things day at a time to really cherish what I have. Because when you're single, you don't have any kids. Like, you can do that. You can grind real hard. But for me, like, if I grind too hard, all this time goes by, like, kids are growing up. In this world, you're just kind of taught to, like, you know, you got to make it. You got to make right. it. But, like, for me, it's not about the money. I don't care about being rich. I don't care about being wealthy. Like, I just want to have a good life with my family, you know, being healthy, eat good food, and that's it. Like, nothing else matters, because when you're in the hospital, when you're sick, like, fuck that. You know, yeah. you hear it all the time.
Yeah.
You know, you're not going to be able to spend your money if you're sick. You know, if you can't eat, you know, if you have like an eating disorder, like I'm so blessed that we're all healthy. Like right. We got our arms, we got our legs, you know, we can move. A lot of that shit we take for granted because we have it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So
I agree.
You know, I really took a big step back and realized what's really important to us.
I don't know if you know who Dax Shepard is.
No.
He's an actor, okay. And he's also, I love his podcast. I listen to him like almost uh-huh. every single day. And for 10 years while he was here in LA, he moved from Detroit to LA. And then he was auditioning for 10 years and he couldn't get anything. And his mentality during that was, I'm not going to wait to live my life until I make it. Like, what's the point of that? Yeah, what if I never make it? Then exactly. I'm just depressed sitting around till I make it. What if I don't? So what he did was like all those 10 years, he did everything that he wanted to do. Like if he did make it, why are we going to wait till we quote unquote make it?
Exactly.
Why can't we just live now? You know?
Exactly.
Yeah.
And that's exactly what I was talking about. Cause and everyone's definition of making it is different, right. You know? But I think for most people, it's like, all right, when I hit X amount of dollars, I made it. But you can't think like that, you know, because you're never going to be happy.
Right.
You know, you make 100 grand, you're not going to be happy. You make 500 grand, you're not going to be happy.
Finding that good balance of
facts,
living life and also, you know, keeping maybe we have goals a year from now, 5 months from now, and then maybe this week. You know, like small little increments that will get you that dopamine hit when you work for it. Example for me, when I run, I try to run like around 4 to 5 miles a day. Yeah. So I know I sound like a maniac every time I say that. Damn. But
even 1 mile sounds like a stretch.
I used to be the same way. He knows that. I'm like, dude, I hated running. I mean, I couldn't run a mile, but I could play basketball for 2 hours. Uh-huh. But then when I stopped playing, I'm like, dude, I'm not in the gym every day. I need to do something. I'm like, you know what? I'm gonna buy a marathon training program. Follow it. And ever since then, for the last 2 years, I've been really consistent with just running about 4 to 5, 6 miles a day. I'll equate my 5 miles in the morning to just life, right? I set a goal of 5 miles in the morning. Mm-hmm. And then pretend in life, I set a goal of I'm going to make $5,000 in the next 3 weeks maybe. You know, so I start my run, first 2 miles, getting going. I'm fine. I'm all right. I'm going. I'm not really thinking about anything because I'm still motivated. I'm still inspired. I'm still fueled by my motivation. Same thing with making money. Maybe I hit the first 2,000. I'm like, okay, I can still keep going. It gets really hard for me around mile two and a half or three. Like the halfway point, it gets really hard for me. I'm like, I've already made it this far. I'm good. I could just go home. You know, like I could just do that and just lie to myself. No one would know.
Yeah.
Even with the money part, I'm like, oh, I already made $3,000. No one would know I'm not going to tell anyone how much I made. I could have just said, oh, I made $5,000, but truly I made $3,000. I could say, oh, I ran 5 miles, but I just ran $3,000. So in my mind, I'm like, okay, you know what? I'm tired, but let me just get to mile 4 and then we'll go from there. I get to mile 4 and I'm like, dude, I'm already at mile 4. Might as well just finish this thing. Yeah. And I end up finishing it. Same thing with the money. Oh, I'm already at $3,000, $3,500. Might as well just go and get 5. Like it's right there. Setting the smaller goals first, that'll add up to the bigger goal. Like when people set goals, it's so far ahead that
it's like unreachable.
Unreachable. You start one day and it's like, fuck, I'm still so far away. Like, I don't know if I could do this. But what if you just take the first step and then just take the next step, take the next mile, the next mile, the next mile, the next step, you know? So I'm a victim of it where it's like, I'm setting my goals way too far ahead of me. I could just set a small one first.
And I feel a lot of us too are also a victim of feeling that pressure of having to be somewhere by a certain age, right?
Yes, I love that you're saying that.
Bro, like, especially with social media nowadays, like you see these people with these cars and you see these people at these houses and traveling all over the world. And like sometimes they're younger than you, making more money than you. And you kind of feel... not ashamed, but like, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah,
like,
you get that FOMO for sure.
Exactly. Definitely. Exactly. So, yeah, dude, definitely have that pressure is definitely huge in our society right now, too.
Goes back to the happiness part. Like, is that going to really make you happy?
Exactly.
Maybe for them, it's going to make you happy. But for you, even if you have all this, will it, you know, is that going to make you happy? But try to stay away from seeing all that glamour. It's good for them, but it's like, you know, when you see it, you do get that feeling.
So I think recently too, I saw an article. It's like depression is at an all-time high. Anxiety's at an all-time high with people in our age group, like 25, mid-20s to like 30s, just because of the societal pressure. everyone's on Instagram, everyone's on TikTok. All you see is the life that you think you want to live.
Yeah.
You didn't live in the 70s, but I'm sure all they were worried about is themselves, their family, and their happiness.
Exactly.
You know, they don't see all this other stuff. Maybe they had their own personal goals, but they don't see it every single day, every single second where they're on their phone. Yeah. You just see freaking people in Hawaii and Italy and Paris driving Mercedes-Benz G-Wagons and like $10,000 purses.
Yeah.
You know, so yeah, it's like a lot of it's a lot of societal stuff, and it's crazy. I'm huge on approval. Like, I'm a big approval junkie. Like, I need, for some reason, I need people's approval, and I'm working on that. Uh-huh. But I'm a big approval junkie. And you at 21, did that all go out the door? I'm not saying that you are looking for approval, like within your peers and seeing people younger than you living their life, and you found out you're having a kid, did that just go all out the door and you were just worried about what I need to do?
The biggest part at that age, when you're like 20 and 21, you're all about going out. Like, you see your friends. You know, you see them going out to eat, some, you know, hitting the clubs, you see them going out, like you wish you were there. And in the beginning, when I had my first kid, like that was a big issue for me because that was, I'm going to enter my prime. I see my boys going out. Like, I want to be out there Friday night when my partner and I, like, we would argue back and forth, you know, you got to watch your kid. You know, she was there too, but it's like, it's not about you anymore. It's about your kid. So for like the first, like 3 or 4 years, like that was our biggest issue because I wanted to go out and still be with the boys and be with my kid. I still love my kid, but I still wanted to be out there. But she made me realize like what's really more important. Because before my first child, like I was all about going out. I loved hanging out. I loved, you know, going places, but all that just kind of went out the door and it's all about my son now, my sons. So it was really hard for me to adapt, but I adapted. Now I'm with my kids, like we know what we want to do. If we're gonna hang out, we're gonna hang out as a family.
Right.
Still love my boys, but it's, you know, our family's gonna come first.
All right. Partner is of what descent again?
She's Mexican.
Mexican, so,
and Guatemalan.
Okay, Mexican and Guatemalan. Growing up as an Asian kid,
yeah,
you don't usually get to date somebody outside your race. Cause you know, us Asian men, we're considered like the not cool people. We're the weirdos, we're the nerds and whatever like that. And then every time you see an Asian guy with another race, for example, a Hispanic lady or a white girl or a African-American girl, they're like, wow, he must have game. Like he must be cool as heck, you know? So when you met your woman now, like how was the dating? Like how did it all happen? Yeah.
You just got to shoot your shot.
Yeah. Like,
if you miss, you miss. If you make it, it's cool.
Yeah.
But
yeah,
I mean, we definitely get a lot of eyes, you know, especially with our kids being mixed and then they look at us. It's like completely off. I think it's 2022.
Right.
I think having the interracial couples is a lot more popular now. You see a lot more of it. And I mean, the Asian culture, I feel like is really slept on. the food, the people. I think the Asian culture is the one culture that non-Asians don't want to tap into because they think it's weird. It's the unknown, you know. They don't know a lot about it. But once they tap into it, the food's great. The culture's great, you know. We're all really respectful. So it's completely different from other cultures. So, you know, I think people got to just shoot your shot, you know. You got to go out there willingly and, you know, if you like an Asian chick, go for it.
Yeah.
Or how long have you guys been dating?
2014. So it's going to be 8 years.
You know how you brought up people don't want to tap into our Asian culture because they're scared or they might think it's weird. A huge part of that is how we're represented in the Western media and how our roles are. Now that we're seeing a huge change, like Crazy Rich Asians, I feel like was the first one that really showed, oh, there's another side to it. You know, like a leading Asian male, a leading Asian woman. And now you're starting to see shows like Shang-Chi. How'd you like Shang-Chi?
It was good. I thought it was really great. My son watched it. You know, it's Disney, right? Marvel. They've really evolved, you know. You know, even 10 years ago, they didn't put out stuff like this. But now you see culture, Disney, television is really evolving.
Right. Like the representation and races and heritages are really coming out. I'm seeing a lot of South Asian now.
Yeah.
I'm seeing a lot of Latinos in TV now. Like it's really changing, which is,
it really is
really love. One thing I would want to influence is just staying away from the stereotypical roles of what you think the race is or the heritage is.
Yeah.
And it might be real, you know, like Filipinos are our very most common stereotype is we're nurses or we're doctors, you know, and you still see that a lot. But like, why can't we see a different type of Filipino representation, yeah. you know, even for Koreans? Like, I feel like for me personally, I see a lot of Korean K-pop, Korean mm-hmm. K-dramas, you know, that's what Popping. I see. Yeah, you know, but I would love to see something else, like something that actually happens in the Korean culture, like people that come here and do other things, you know. There's stories like that everywhere.
Yeah.
And if, you know, if we see that in Western media, I feel like that would be great. And yeah. back then, they've just portrayed leading men as the white male. You know,
yeah.
That's the perfect man, the white male.
Yep.
You know, so everybody else had no shot of right. getting any other woman but the woman in your same heritage.
Right.
You know, because like we never saw Asian leading male back in the 70s, 60s, nah, 50s.
No.
That was not a thing at
if
all.
If that happened like, back then, it would have been groundbreaking.
Yeah.
Exactly. Or he's crazy. Or he does Kung Fu. Like
yeah, yeah. 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 Like freaking
Bruce Lee.
Bruce Lee. You were Bruce Lee. And that was it. You're nothing else. So everybody was like, Asian man or, you know, Hispanic man, I don't want to date them. Like, I just want to get the white man.
So I got to tap into it. People will, you're never going to know. Yeah. I don't know if you guys seen that TikTok, and I don't know if this is going to relate, but it's the more you fuck around, the more you're going to find out. I don't know if you guys seen that.
wait.
Have you guys seen that? You guys haven't seen that?
No, I haven't. No, explained, I gotta show you. Explain that.
It's this guy on TikTok. Uh-huh. He looks like a professor. He just makes a very simple graph. He splits it into two. I'm not a really good explainer, but he basically tells you the more you fuck around, the more you're going to find out. So there's people that do dumb shit, you're going to find out.
Right.
And it's like, you know, you play stupid games, you win stupid prizes, whatever that is. So I got to show you that.
I get what you're saying. I kind of get the concept though. It's like the more you do a certain thing, the more you're
going to
find
out. Exactly.
Yeah. Okay. I got that.
I'm not saying, you know, you're going to fuck around and tap into an Asian person, but you gotta find out. Like if you don't try, you're not gonna know. You're never gonna know.
Right.
There's that famous quote, you miss 100% of the shots you don't take.
Yeah.
Oh, I love
MJ,
that.
MJ, right? Michael
Jordan.
MJ.
Classic.
Yeah, you know what? I never verified that. Is that what he really said?
Did he really say
I that? Always see Michael Jordan in that quote.
Yeah.
But
I thought it was Wayne Griffin's speech.
Ooh.
Well, I think it was Wayne. It was might it? Be Wayne. Yeah. I think it's that sounds correct to me.
They just put Michael Jordan in there
because funny. Wayne Gretzky.
Nice. There you go.
Hockey.
What are Jason Kim's top three players of all time? NBA players of all time.
Basketball? We're talking basketball talk now? Oh, that's what I like.
I mean, I grew up with like Kobe, Shaq. I don't know anything about Larry Bird. I don't know anything about Magic Johnson, Kareem. So when a lot of these older dudes come to me and, you know, they ask me for like what my basketball opinion is, it's hard to relate that message because I didn't see these players growing up. I'm not going to include players I didn't see. So, I mean, let's say, you know, if you're asking for like top three, like I got to put Kobe at one.
Yes.
It's has to be Kobe, you know, LeBron somewhere in there and can't ask someone that question. Because it's like there's so many moving parts.
That's true.
But yeah. like... 90s babies, if Kobe's not in there, there's something wrong with you.
Yeah, exactly.
We grew up watching Kobe and you saw how great he was, you know, his work ethic, you know, the way he played ball is just different. And I don't think anyone is going to come around like him ever again.
I agree.
Like never.
I agree.
He's just different.
Yeah, especially because how he got there, man. Just the work mentality is just something we've never seen before.
Never. Nah.
Like the stories you hear about him, like just in itself, dude. Like these guys are trying to beat him and then he's already there 2 hours before them.
Yeah.
It's like, dude, he's always going to be one step ahead of everybody. And that's why he's your number one.
Yeah.
But I totally get what you mean by asking that question because it's super subjective.
Dude,
you know?
You're going to freaking start arguments with people.
Exactly.
Like, people ruin relationships over that question.
Some people are about points. Some people are about championships. You
exactly.
know? So, I mean, I guess it all varies, you know. But you're a Lakers fan, right?
I'm a Lakers fan, but I like to hate on them too.
You can hate all you want this
because,
year, buddy.
Yeah. You got to admit the wrongs.
It's a rough year for us.
Facts.
Oh, my God.
I don't even want to talk about it.
The Lakers, dude. I just like, oh, my God. I don't know what's going What do you guys think they need to do? Like, what does the Lakers, should they just like restart, revamp everything?
So here's the thing, like playing in LA is not easy. All the eyes are on you.
Definitely.
So right now the Lakers are tied with the Rockets. You don't hear about the Rockets being really, really bad, but right. they're just as bad as the Lakers. It's right. just the Lakers have a lot of talent. LeBron, AD, Russ. You know, you got those big three and Lonnie Walker, Patrick Beverly. But I think they got to keep going, keep rocking with this team.
Yeah.
Because when they have good stretches when they look good.
They do.
Like, they look good.
Yeah.
And I feel like they just need more of that.
Right. Like, I like it when Russ has control sometimes.
Dude, Russ has been hooping.
Yeah, he's been hooping.
I don't know if you guys have been watching, but yeah.
I always watch till they lose. So I'm watching their good stretch, and they're like, oh, they're about to lose. I'm going to go ahead and go upstairs now.
But see, look how quickly the media changed on Russ.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Last month, it was like, Russ, you suck. Russ, leave LA, trade Russ. You know, you're one of the worst Lakers of all time. And then last couple weeks ago, he started playing well. Everyone's cheering for Russ.
Yeah.
I was at the Laker game, and dude, you're hearing MVP chants.
Yeah.
Like almost time he's at the free throw line. But that's how the LA media is.
Right.
LA
right.
fans, we're just ruthless.
Yeah.
You either love them or you hate them.
Yeah.
I don't know what's up with like our team or like, I don't know, because I don't know if you noticed this, but there's a lot of the times like, most of the rumors are from the Lakers. Like, you know, we're going to get this player. We're going to get that player. We're gonna, like, where's the leak in that organization, dude?
Literally. It's just like, LA, man. That's part of being the Lakers.
That is true. Yeah. I guess it's just how big the city is. And like, it's hard to hold information like that in, especially like at that level. But dude, I'm not scared. I hope they figure it out.
I'm scared.
He's like, no, I'm scared, bro.
But see, the thing is too, when a team comes to LA to play, they're gonna be trying their best.
Exactly.
Right. All eyes are on them. Like last night, the Kings, like this is the Kings, but they wanna go in and win. All eyes are on them.
Right.
So if you're gonna come play the Lakers, you're gonna ball out.
Yeah. You're coming to LA.
Yeah. Yeah. But it's different against the Clippers. You don't care if you lose the Clippers.
Fuck the Clippers.
Yeah. It's like the biggest show in town is the Lakers.
Yeah. All the stars go to LA Lakers games.
For sure. Yeah. You see all the stars. There.
What do they call it?
What?
They call the sideline something specific. I forgot what it was.
I have no
that
idea.
Was like a specific name for like the Lakers sideline because of how all the celebrities, they call it like the Walk of Fame or something because of just all the celebrities that just pull up to the games, dude. It's literally just rows of celebrities.
Dang. Yeah.
Like A-listers, B-listers.
If I was playing for Oklahoma City, dude, and I know I'm coming to LA, and I know everyone's watching me, I'm balling out. I'm like, I don't care what's happening. I'm going to hoop. You know, like that's probably everybody's mentality. Oh, we're playing the Lakers? Oh, I'm going to come and hoop. So, like, you can't really blame them because, like,
you can't.
Everyone's A-game when they come and play LA or come to play in LA.
Yeah.
They're like, oh, or I'm hooping. Like,
yeah.
I want this team to maybe sign me one day so I can come and play in LA.
Yeah.
You know, no one, it's like, it's crazy. Like, I'm not going to go play like that against OKC. I'm going to play my game.
Right.
Oh, we're playing OKC. We're going to be in Oklahoma. Okay. I'm just going to go in.
Yeah.
Just play. You know, I'm not going
to. That's a for sure thing in LA. And for the Lakers, it's just another day in the office. So right. Maybe sometimes they're not going to be trying all that hard.
Right.
I mean, sure. I'm sure they're trying, but it's like, oh, it's another day.
Right. Right.
And the history is there, dude. Like we've been so spoiled. I mean, we didn't grow up in those eras of all the championships back in the day, but we grew up in the three-peat era when, you know, they wanted those three.
Kobe and Shaq.
Exactly, dude. So like how spoiled, you know, we're super spoiled. Exactly. Right. Yeah. So like whenever we start doing bad or when we're fucking 15th in the league for our division, then obviously you can see why the fans get a little bit upset.
Yeah.
But it does piss me off though with the whole Russ thing when they're like bashing him, like completely bashing his head in, dude. And then all of a sudden he's having a good game and dude, everyone's chanting MVP. What is that shit, dude? Stay like that through the whole season, bro.
Keep the same energy.
Exactly, dude. Like, and especially because, like, I mean, I don't want to say he cares, but it's hard, bro. It's constantly all over the media as your name.
Yeah.
Is your fucking name everywhere, dude. Like, your wife is seeing this. She's on social media as well. Your wife's seeing, your family's seeing this.
Yeah.
So your brother's hitting you up. Your pops is hitting you up. Like, so, like, you know, I he's obviously going to run into these things from here. But
for sure.
It's obviously, I mean, when you're at that point, I'm pretty sure your mentality is a whole. I mean, you're a fucking NBA player, so.
Yeah, but it's how you handle it.
Exactly,
I think he's handling it great.
Oh, dude, he's phenomenal. He's phenomenal right now. I feel like he uses it almost. Like,
yeah.
To fuel his fire.
Yeah.
I feel like he wants to prove people wrong.
Which is good.
Yeah.
You know, because you put someone else in that position, they might just fold.
Yeah. You see it too. Yeah. You really do see it. Especially in that at that level, dude.
Yeah.
You're playing with the best in the world. You have to show up.
So, like, you know how we talk about, like, the pressure of people in LA and talking about that in social media? Mm-hmm. So, you run a social media page called yeah. Sleepers All Day, for those that don't know. Yep, and about 72.2K followers right now, from what I last
70,
saw.
Yeah, 70, yeah.
70 plus.
What line has to be drawn in order for you to, like, delete a comment or hide a comment?
I don't really delete. I don't really delete it. You know, I'll look at it because, if anything, it brings up conversations with people.
Okay.
So yeah. I guess if it's like Instagram kind of already filters it for you. If something is really bad, they won't let you move forward with the comment. So they're pretty good on that. But I mean, I like to read the conversations. Some people come shoot me a DM and be like, hey, this guy is saying all this. Take a look at it. You know, I'll take a look at it. And
so then, you got like your moderators almost.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Some people already let me know like, that's sweet. This guy is acting up. But see, those people acting up, I feel like, are these kids that just don't give a fuck about what they're, you know, they really don't care. They don't know any better.
Right.
So, but it's, yeah. If anything, I want to help the community still be together. You know, I want to make sure this is still a basketball page. Right. Still talk about hoops. Yeah. But unfortunately, politics, it's you know.
It's Have you been to Korea?
I haven't been since 2006 or 2007. Going into my freshman year of high school. So it's about, it's been a minute.
You went on vacation?
Yeah.
So how is like being an American, Korean American, and going back to the heritage and the culture? How is that? Is it like culture shock or does it feel like home?
Yeah, big time. Big time culture shock. It never felt like home. Uh-huh. When I went in 2006-07, the technology from what I remember was like already super advanced. So really? Like what we have now, they had that like 20 years ago.
No way.
During COVID, they had machines that were legit, like
they were ready,
desensitized, like legit, like pour like freaking cleaner on you, like to clean you. Like they had legit machines for bodies, like on the streets.
Yeah, their technology is really crazy. Ahead, yeah. They have like Wi-Fi everywhere. Like you could step outside and you have Wi-Fi.
Wow, I didn't know that. Damn.
But so I know the food there. I mean, everything's real good, real great out there.
Yeah. So like, do you speak Korean or anything?
Very like proficiently. Oh. So I can speak it. I can understand. Like when I go to a Korean restaurant, I speak Korean and order whatever I gotta order.
Are you teaching your kids Korean too?
No, it's hard.
Yeah.
Because I went to Korean school. Like I went to a once a week Saturday school to learn Korean, and it's I don't want to put my kids in that. But I mean, it's for the better of them. But I mean, our weekends are booked with sports and family outings.
I feel like that's way better.
yeah. We'll see.
You get to spend time with your kids. They get to play sports. I feel like sports is a big metaphor for life. You know, I mean, as an athlete, more than half of what I know and how I carry myself was from sports.
Yeah.
You know, growing up in basketball all my life, a lot of my discipline, a lot of how I eat now, a lot of how I, you know, do things every single day was from basketball, you know, like going to practice at a certain time, making sure you're early, not on time, making sure you're early.
Yeah.
You know, I carry all that stuff with
me. It's really important. Yeah. But it's good because my son, he's 7 and he's got a bunch of other kids that are like 7 and 8.
Yeah.
For them to be out there like together, like is the bond for those kids is great. You know, there's a lot of 7, 8-year-olds that are socially awkward. They won't really talk. They're real shy. Like these kids aren't like that.
Right.
And they've been playing together for like a little bit over a year now. So it's like a family.
Right. And it just gives them the skill of teamwork, being able to be social.
Facts.
You know, being able to work with other people at a young age.
Yeah.
Going through adversity.
Yeah.
Everything. Yeah. Like everything that life is going to throw at you, you could find it in sports. You know?
At 7 years old.
Yeah. At 7 years old. Exactly. You know, you might lose to a much better team. Your self-esteem might feel like crap, but you could go and work and try to get as good as them, you know?
Yeah.
And in life, that's what's going to happen where my self-esteem so many times have been crushed where it's like, damn, do I really belong here, you know? Like, am I really good enough? But, being in sports at a young age, is like I feel like that teaches a lot of young kids like a lot of great things about life, you know?
Yeah. I'm all about being supportive. Asian parents, they want you to do this. and you're stuck on that whole life. And if you don't do it, you feel like you're a failure.
Yeah, right.
I don't want to do that to him. If he wants to go work at fucking McDonald's, like, I'm all for it.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Whatever makes you happy.
Exactly. Yeah. Whatever you want to do, cool. Just let me know. And how can I help?
Yeah. And I feel like that gives him the ultimate confidence to try out whatever he wants to try out.
Yeah. Yeah. You know? Yeah.
It's like, oh, my dad supports me. I can do whatever I feel like I want to do. Oh, okay, cool.
Exactly.
You know, and it just gives that kind of that safety of like, I can chase my dreams. Like I can chase whatever I think that's going to make me. I could try out new things and I'm going to be okay. My dad's going to support me.
Yeah.
And I feel like that gives it, for me personally, I've had my parents to support whatever I wanted to do. But of course, at the end of the day, you could still hear the little voices in your head like, oh, they probably want you to go to school instead. They probably like, they give you little hints that, like little guiding points like, oh, maybe you should do this, maybe you should that, but do whatever you want. Mm-hmm. Do whatever makes you happy. Just make sure you're secure. At the end of the day, I just see it as love.
Yeah.
They just want to make sure I'm going to be all right. But having that confidence from them, like, yeah, go try, go do whatever you want. Just make sure you're all right. And I'm like, okay, cool. That gives me the ultimate confidence of like, I don't have to look behind my back and feel like I'm being ashamed in the family or being talked down to.
Yeah.
And the way you're saying it, it's like, man, that's like a kid's ultimate dream.
Yeah.
You know?
I wish I had more of that when I was growing up. Like a lot of like Mexican families try to keep it traditional. And we usually step into the comfortability of just going to a job that we know is going to guarantee us a paycheck.
Yeah.
You know? So we try to, we fit into that standard and we fit into that day-to-day schedule of just working that 9 to 5 just because we know it's going to provide us money to get food for the table on the family, you know?
Yeah.
So exactly. Like that's huge, bro. I
admire that, man. I admire because
we're
that.
Young. Yeah. Yeah. Like we're young parents. So we want, you know, we know what's important. We know how we feel. We're still kids. Like we're still young.
Of course.
So, you know, in a way, like us as parents, we can relate to our 7-year-old kid because we're, you know, it wasn't that long ago we were 7. Mm. You know, I can still remember when I was 7 and how I felt. So I think it really helps them. But like I said, every parent's going to be different.
Right.
Every parent is different.
Different. There's this thing in therapy called like inner child healing. I don't know if you've heard of that, where it's like they try to go and look back to when they were a certain age and try to heal themselves, right? And you saying like, oh, I still remember when I was 7. And from what you said, you had strict Asian parents. So I feel like you're giving your child, your kids, the chance that you never got. The parents that you wish, I'm not saying you wish had different parents, but
I hear you.
You know, like kind of just like, oh, man, I'm doing it this time around or what I thought how I wanted my parents.
Yeah, exactly. You know? Exactly. Because I didn't have all this.
Right.
I didn't have any of this.
Right. And it's kind of like literally a way of inner child healing. Where it's like you're giving it your child is you when you were 7.
Right.
And you're giving him the parenting that you wish you had or hoped you had. I'm not saying your parents were bad, but.
Right. Yeah. No, for sure. Yeah. For sure. And I don't know if it like hurt because I did realize this recently, maybe I guess 2-3 years ago. Mm-hmm. Because I wanted to do everything that my son is doing, but it's like, did my parents not do it because they couldn't afford it? Did they not do it because they didn't know?
Mm.
You know, did they not do it for, I don't know what the reason was, but like, looking back, it's like, fuck, I told them I want to do this, but they never did it.
Mm.
And it hurt me, but it makes me feel good every time I see him out there, like with his teammates and friends, because he's doing it, and I always wanted to do this.
Right.
So it's like, I already kind of got rid of that taste of like, it hurt me. You know, why did my parents not put me in this? Cause I got rid of that. Because I knew like I was able to do this for my kid right now.
Right.
What you're saying is completely true.
What did I miss as a child? And I am so grateful for my parents for everything they've done for me. You know, like super great. Because I grew up in the Philippines from about 3 to 11. Because my mom couldn't take care of me here in the United States. So she sent me to my grandparents so they could raise me mm-hmm. and my brother. And my grandparents were already old. They were in their mid-60s, and they're not young parents.
Mm-hmm.
So they didn't really have the energy nor wanted to give that much energy to really raise a child. Like, I'm not saying they raised me wrong. They gave me everything they could possibly give me.
Mm-hmm.
But there's a certain things that I wish I could have done. One is being in organized sports. In the Philippines, I never really played organized basketball. And I never really got to buy the shoes I wanted or yeah. the clothes I wanted to wear. It was always my grandparents buying what they saw, they thought I liked or yeah. what they thought looked good,
yeah.
right? So back then I didn't have that choice, but now I have that choice. So everything I do now from what I'm seeing, like all my impulses are from because I never got that when I was a child. Yeah. I love clothes now. Every yeah. time I go to Zara, I'm like, I'm not going to hold back. If I see something I like, I'm going to get it and I'm going to wear it.
Yeah.
Because I never had that as a child.
Yeah.
You know, I'm like, okay, now I could give young Justin what I wanted now.
Yeah.
So I'm going to try to heal my young Justin to get him what he wants now, you know, and kind of surrounding, like even then back then too, where it's like my fam, my grandparents, I never really had aunts, uncles,
yeah, yeah.
cousins. I had none of that. And I was like, okay, maybe that's why I'm always looking for friends. Maybe that's why I'm always trying to hang around my friends.
Mm-hmm.
Because I never really had that social kind of
yeah.
environment where I had cousins coming over every weekend to play or my aunts and uncles were coming in for dinner.
Yeah.
So now I can notice, I'm like, okay, I'm here with my parents now. Why do I always look for my aunts and uncles to come over?
Yeah, no, that's dope that you've, you know? You figured it out like now. Because there's, you know, some people will never figure it out or they'll never admit to it. Until you know, unless you get older,
mm-hmm.
and it just gets worse. But the fact that we can figure all this out at our age is, I think, is huge.
It's very fortunate.
Yeah,
we're very fortunate to be.
But it's weird how you put things together and why things didn't happen back then. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. You know, and it's like, wow, it really makes sense.
Right. It's like just like literally talking to yourself. You know, like being
you're backtracking.
Yeah, sitting quiet, thinking about like, why do I have this impulse so much? Like, what yeah. am I soothing? Like, why am I binge eating right now? Like, what am I trying to suppress?
Yeah.
You
yeah.
know? And like, when I binge eat, I'm like, okay, why am I binge eating? Oh, yeah. Because I'm kind of stressed right now. I'm not working. So that's why I'm binge eating. Maybe I should just go work out instead or meditate instead. You know? Yeah. Like, I just, beforehand, like being in basketball, I think coming back to you, like, all the grind.
Yeah.
When I was just grind back then in basketball overseas, I never really got to look inside.
Yeah.
And
too busy.
Yeah. And then when everything slowed down during COVID, all the anxiety, all the like insecurities just came out of nowhere. I'm like, wow. Where the fuck did this come from?
Yeah.
You know, because I was so stuck in the grind, I never really looked inside. I'm like,
yeah,
fuck all this shit. I'm trying to make it to Europe. I'm trying to make it to the league. Fuck all that. I don't care. Then COVID happened and just I was like, ugh.
This is tapping back into what he was saying, where like, you know, you're just so focused on trying to make it.
Yeah.
And you're so focused on that one goal that mm-hmm. you don't stop to smell the roses.
Mm-hmm,
so
mm-hmm.
when you do, that's when everything comes fucking tumbling down, yeah. dude. And then yeah. you have those realizations. And I actually heard this on a podcast yesterday about this guy who, when he was talking to his therapist, he told him like these three steps to do. It's you identify, you know, what's going on yeah. with you and, you know, why you feel that way. You receive it and then you forgive it.
Yeah.
You know? But I feel like that the last part is the hardest part,
yeah.
is forgiving it and yeah. finding out how to forgive it and how to get past that.
Because yeah. yeah.
it's you know, it's hard, dude. It's and you hold on to these things, bro, because sometimes these things do take a real effect on you. And, I mean, they do because you're still thinking about these things, you yeah. know?
No, yeah,
so, I mean,
that's facts.
Yeah, backtracking, you know, fucking, yeah, and then having those realizations, it's huge, though, because it's a part of growing, right?
For sure. You know?
It's... I love life.
Yeah. And then coming from like immigrant families, we didn't have that because all our parents were doing was to survive.
Yeah.
Was to put food on the table, work, so we could live.
Paycheck to paycheck. Yeah.
They just wanted to work so we could be good, you know? And they never really got the chance to what we're doing now.
Yeah.
It's like they're working for us to be comfortable. And then now they're giving us the opportunity to work on ourselves and make sure that we live the life that we want to live and pass it down to, for example, for you, for, yeah. for your child, for your, yeah. for your two sons, you know? And yeah, I don't know if you can relate to this, but coming from an Asian family, being the man in the house, being a man in an Asian family, yeah. you can't be saying stuff like this.
Yeah.
You know, you can't be going, talking about your mental health.
Hell no, right, dude.
You
dude.
Can't say you're sad, can't say any of that stuff.
They'll use it against you.
Right, you know? Right.
Dude, they're like, I hate to say it, dude, but like, in the Mexican tradition, like they'll literally call you gay for that, dude. Like,
no, that is wow. that is true for my out, yeah,
literally.
Yes.
Like wow. it doesn't make any sense to me, bro. Like it really doesn't. That's why I'm so grateful that we're growing up in this era where it's accepted more.
Yeah, for sure.
And we're able to tell our fucking feelings, bro. Because, bro, we're men. Yeah, we're men. We're human. But we still feel shit. Right. We still go through things, you know. Yeah. We still have a brain that, you know, thinks things that ultimately could be your downfall. You know? So we do need that support. We do need that comfort. And exactly, like, you know, it's us to break those barriers and teach certain things to our kids that, you know, we didn't get to learn ourselves.
Yeah.
But we're identifying later in life.
No, that's fact. That's for sure.
Yeah. I'm just happy. Yeah, like you said, I'm happy that we're all here. We're all men. Yeah. We're all, you know.
This is all thing. Normal shit.
Yes. It's just full transparency. You know, exactly. Transparency, man. Full transparency. It's like people on Instagram or social media. It's getting better now. I'm not going to say social media is completely bad, but I'm saying we're, as men, we can just get rid of that stigma already. It's like, it's fine. It's okay, man. It's cool. Like, come give me a hug. It's all good. Yeah. You know, like.
It's all love.
It's all love. You know, it's all love. But
and if people bash you for it, fuck them.
Yeah. Who cares? Live the life.
We obviously haven't healed during your child.
You know? You need some help? We can help you a little bit.
I know a guy.
That should be the topic. Healing your inner child.
Healing your inner child.
That's actually really cool.
Yeah, dude. Do you have anything you think that healing your inner child now that you might have missed?
I didn't even know that's what it was called. I just did this because of my kids, of what they're going through. And I was like backtracking to why my parents didn't do it. But the fact that you bring it up and I know what it's called now, it's like, oh, shit.
You were doing it without knowing the term. Exactly.
So I might heal like 4-year-old Jason.
four-year-old Jason that never got the Toy Story set that I wanted, truly. You know?
Exactly. You know, this is cool. I really didn't know that.
Yeah, I didn't even know until like 6 months ago. Maybe.
That's crazy.
Yeah, 6 months ago, maybe I started to learn about it. And I mean, dude, we live in this world for a short amount of time. It may seem long, but it flies by. I mean, I remember when I was freaking 5 and now I'm 25. I'm like, how the fuck did that happen? Like,
but you're still young. You're only 25?
Yes, I'm 25.
How old are you?
24.
How old are you?
33.
That's young. 33 is young. I'm turning 30 next year.
Oh.
And I feel like...
Man, 30s, huh?
I feel like I'm still in my prime. Like, I feel good. I think I'm still healthy. Like, I'm still moving. Like, I don't know. Like, when I said it earlier, like, all my body parts are moving. That's all you can really ask for.
Yeah. Honestly.
Like, there's so many people that would love to have one arm, you know? Like, maybe something happened to them. We take it for granted.
Preach, bro.
You know how hard it is? Like, even when your arm breaks, you're in a cast, you're like, fuck, it's hard. You know, I want to get this cast off.
Right.
So it's, you know, we take it for granted big time.
Like, us being able to walk, to communicate to each other.
Exactly.
Look at things, smell things, taste things.
Yeah.
Just the simple 5 senses go a long way, dude.
Big time. Because there's going to be a day where one of those senses go away and you're going to be like.
Or they start to deteriorate and get worse.
Damn,
gotta appreciate it.
We're so fortunate, and we're here sitting in this place right now with a roof over our head.
Yeah,
we're in LA. We're in Southern California.
Yeah,
there's so many things that can factor in with gratitude. Is like we're just so great. I'm freaking grateful for everything. You know, like even there's just days where, of course, you know, it's valid to feel like crap. It's valid to feel insecure and all that stuff. But at the end of the day,
you got to go back to it.
Yeah, the simplest things in life are the ones that are gonna make you happiest and make them like make you feel most grateful.
Yeah,
you know,
that's for sure.
So, last thing, sleepers all day.
Yes, sir.
One question about it: what happened when it got, was it banned? What happened? It got like suspended, right?
Yeah. So I don't remember. I don't know. Maybe the last time we talked, last time we did the podcast was either when it went down or it came back up.
Uh-huh.
But yeah, on Instagram you get X amount of strikes, and eventually strike 3, they're gonna ban you or they're gonna delete the account.
What?
Yeah. So like at that time, I don't remember when it was. That memory I threw it out the window. But there's some videos on the internet that are like forbidden to be posted because they're owned by licensed groups. So like in order to use those videos, you gotta pay whoever owns the video to use it.
Right.
And I forgot what I posted, and that happened to be like my strike 10 or whatever.
Oh, shoot. Strike 10.
So it got taken down, and it got taken down for like 6 months. And during that 6 months, it was like all depression. Like all this hard work I put into it is now gone. So I felt it. I was mad. I was sad. Like, there's days I'd be crying. There's days I'd be like, what the fuck? There's days I wouldn't talk to my kids or my wife.
Right.
But one day, I literally made a list. No, I didn't. I don't think I made a list. I went through my Facebook friends. Who do I know that works for fucking Facebook and Instagram? And, like, I haven't talked to these people in years. Some of them I don't even know. But I just scrolled down, sent a message to all of them. You know, some of them helped me. Some of them said, I don't know. Some of them said, I'll get back to you.
Yeah.
But, like, the very last girl I reached out to, some girl I knew of, and she's a little bit older. I don't even know how I met her. But she's, like, got some position at Facebook that's pretty high-powered.
Yeah.
Okay.
And I told her what was going on. I told her this what happened. I told her what I did. And she's like, all right, cool. I'll get back to you. And then she sends me a message back, like, a month later. Hey, your account should be back and running. And
I know who to go to when I get my Instagram freaking deleted.
But it's, she got,
but it's like,
she got power.
It's like, I haven't even talked to her in, like, 10 years.
That's so cool.
I forget how I even met her. Like, we were just Facebook friends. And, like, the fact that she was able to help me out is, like, what the fuck?
Some damn.
Good people in this world.
Damn, she got that string support.
Yeah, so it's, but you know what? I think she's been working for Facebook for a while. She's verified on Instagram.
Oh, shoot.
For, like, okay. With, like, 2,000 followers, so.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah, she for
she's
sure.
She's, like, one
yeah.
of the OG
yeah.
workers, probably, but.
Talking about verification.
I already know what this guy's going to bring about.
Dude, this thing's been on my head, bro. Like, I just don't know how that process works. Because I at first, my mentality was it had to do with followers.
Uh-huh.
But so now that you're bringing up people with 2,000 followers that are verified, you know, like, how does that work? Do you have to go through, like, a process?
Yeah, so, I mean, like, verified communities, I mean, athletes, most of them are all verified. They all have agents. They all have PR people. So
right.
those people are all probably going to be verified. You know, like news, CNN, ABC, NBC, they're all going to be verified. But it's all about, like, how big your platform is and how many articles about you are out there on the internet.
Okay.
You can request for verification. Like, on Instagram, there's a button you can request for verification.
Right.
You submit your ID, and I think now there's, like, questions they ask you, what you do, et cetera, et cetera.
Do you have to reach a certain amount of interactions to get the verification?
I don't think so.
You can just, like, straight up ask for it?
Yeah, what they look for is, like you said, articles. So, like, you can actually send them, like, if you're an actor, you send them your IMDb.
Yeah, like, you, Justin, like, I think you can.
You probably get verified.
You probably get verified, yeah.
I should try to get verified.
I think your resume is big enough.
Oh, shit.
Well, so what's up with the people that, like, well, they occasionally comment on these profiles, like, yo, I can get you verification.
That's are those scams, dog?
Oh, anybody right. get scammed for $200, bro.
Those are the people that'll take your account and fucking take your shit, and you'll never see your account back again.
They're going to run with that one.
Twitter just came out with that paid verification.
Oh, yeah.
What do you think of that?
But they actually took it down.
Oh, they did.
Yesterday, a couple days ago, because it's causing too much frenzy.
Yeah, what's his name got verified? Kyle Rittenhouse.
Who's that?
During the fucking riots.
The guy that shot up.
The guy that shot two guys.
Oh, the dude in the
Washington. Rifle. Yeah, he got verified because of the verification process. Of the e-bucks.
That's.
But I think they. Yeah, that's done now.
Yeah, that's.
That's such a bad idea.
That's too dangerous. Idea.
But if you click on the check mark, it tells you whether they're legit or if they're paid for. But I mean, who's gonna want to do that every time?
Yeah. Yeah. That's fucking crazy. Yeah. People actually buy for that blue check. That's nuts.
Yeah.
And then, so does that blue check come with monetization?
No, I don't think so.
No?
Nah. The status.
Well, that definitely, like, attract more eyes though, right? For sponsorships and stuff like
for
that.
For sure. I think it'll attract, but I mean, if Nike is trying to sponsor you, they're going to click that shit and be
yeah.
like, hey,
he paid for it. Yeah.
Okay.
So it's all about getting someone's approval. It's, people want to have this blue check mark. Yeah. It's powerful. I think it is powerful, but I don't think you should fake it, you know, until you make it type of thing.
No, that's...
If you get it, cool. If not,
fuck
cool.
it. Yeah. Exactly. We live in a world where it's all about status.
Yeah, facts.
You know, if you don't have a certain amount of followers, if you don't have a blue check, or if you're not doing this, you know, you're not cool, but...
That's why I still, like, you know, someone DMs me, I DM them right back. Like,
right.
Because I knew how it felt. To be, you know, starting out. Like, right. I knew how it felt. So now to give back, or someone wants some pointers, like, dude, I'm all ears. I'm
right.
All
there for
you. That's huge, bro. Yeah. You're building community. That's yes. What you're doing. You're building structure on yes. your page, community.
Yeah.
That's why you have all these people that are not afraid to comment on your stuff. They're not exactly. afraid to comment what they feel because they're part of that. They feel like they're part of that community.
Yeah.
You know, and they're able to spill their opinion, and maybe they'll get a comment here, and they're able to have a conversation with someone that's part of that community.
Yeah.
And that's the beautiful theme, man. That's the proper way to do it, I feel like.
Yeah.
So you know how Complex has certain shows on YouTube now?
Like, yeah.
Are you planning on trying to get to that level?
Just recently, I thought about it and wanting to go back out there. During COVID, I was making some videos.
Yeah.
And then I realized like how much of my time was taken up. But that's when I had a full-time job. I still have a full-time job now, but right. it's a job where it's going to give me more leverage and time. So
right.
I think moving forward, I do want to do something, kind of get a little bit more out there other than Instagram.
Right.
But yeah, I think that's in the works.
We should definitely collaborate on a show.
Yeah, that'd be dope. That'd be dope. Yes. Bring someone on. Like, yeah. You know, because there's a lot of dudes in the league that, you know, that fuck with sleepers. A lot of dudes.
Oh, yeah, I see occasional ballers post. Who'd I see? Kenneth Fareed comments.
Kenneth Fareed is a regular on our page.
Yeah, I see him. Manimal. Yeah, I see him all the time on his page. Yeah, I'm down to collaborate on something. We may talk about something where it's like a sleepers all day show.
Yeah.
You interview a bunch of sleepers. Oh, that would be sick. You know what I'm saying? That'd be sick.
I think that's in the works, but yeah. We'll see.
Yeah. Gotta that's awesome, it. Man. Well, for you guys, I want to check out the page. It's at Sleepers All Day, right?
At Sleepers All Day.
Yeah, at Sleepers All Day. Follow, like, comment. I comment on there all the time. I'm like,
just Instagram, right? No Twitter?
We got Twitter, but it's not really like Instagram.
Okay.
We got TikTok. It's not really like Instagram. Instagram's probably the main platform right now.
Fuck it. Tap in on all platforms.
Yeah, tap in on all platforms.
Support.
Tap in on all platforms. Well, Jason, thank you, man. This was a lot of fun.
Thanks for having us.
Appreciate you. Of course, man.